You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of October 14th, 2020. And today our special guest is Ronald McDonald.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Abor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games and brand synergy.
Ooh, man, you gotta get those hot, fresh IPs.
Mash them up.
Put them together.
IP salad.
Make a stew.
We're talking about some video game crossovers, because there was a few high profile crossovers that happened in the recent week and a half or so. And just seeing, here's the thing, I want to know, I guess, to your point before we started recording, what is a bridge too far for us? Where is the line?
God, my bridge is not very far, I'm gonna be honest. It's if anything, it's a pier. It doesn't even cross the full body of water for me.
You can look out over it, but that's it.
You know, here's what it is, right? I do not like crossover. I don't know. Oh man, here's the problem. I'm a fucking hypocrite, because if it's something dope, I'm like, yeah, sign me up.
Well, but, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I don't like this thing unless it's good. It's like, okay, you know,
that's fair. Here, yeah. I think for me, it needs to be opt-in, right? Because let's say I decide I want to play a game that is about, I don't know, dinosaurs, right? Mm-hmm. And then Sonic wants to get involved. And now there's a fucking blue dinosaur that constantly yells, gotta go fast or whatever, right? Uh-huh. I signed up to be with dinosaurs, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want Sonic in there. You know, he wasn't invited to the party. It's like if I have a house party, right? And I invite you over and you bring over like your annoying cousin Steve, who I did not invite to my party. You know?
Steve Urkel, that is.
Steve Urkel, right?
Yeah.
But not the charming, suave version of him when he drinks
not
that potion.
Not Stefan Urkel.
Yes. Deep cuts there. It feels like an uninvited guest when IP crossover is not an opt-in scenario. I think this is probably most common with multiplayer games where, you know, I might be, maybe I'm playing a fighting game and then all of a sudden, like, some douchebag from, I don't know, Animal Crossing or something shows up, and now we got to fight to the death. Like, it feels like it's breaking some of that fiction for me.
Mm, yes. Well, I mean, let's talk about the ones that got into the news over the past couple weeks.
Yes.
Let's talk about this living nightmare that is the Sonic the Hedgehog Fall Guys skin that they released.
Yes. So Fall Guys are not one to shy away from an opportunity to reskin their characters, right? They've already done this
before.
That's
the whole point of that game.
Yeah. Right. Like, they did it with Ninja, right? Isn't there like a Fall Guys Ninja?
Something like that. I forget what the promo was. But I mean, and that whole game is built around that stuff. Like, it's like custom. I mean, it's free to play with cosmetics. So, like, that's the whole game of it.
I also get the sense that the team knows that they have to strike while the iron is hot. And in fact, Fall Guys is already cooling down, right? Based on the very high that it had for a brief moment, it has started to sort of plummet in certainly viewership on Twitch. And so I think licensing, that's that you have to seize that moment when you have the peak viewers, right? Because you're justifying them giving you money or having some kind of cross promotional opportunity by saying, look, X number of people watch people play this game every day. Wouldn't you love Sonic in there? Or wouldn't you love the Arby's mascot, Mr. Arby? I don't think that he doesn't
exist.
Excuse
me, Mr. Arby is his father.
Oh, my bad.
Call him Arby.
So it makes sense that Sonic would be in Fall Guys. The other weird thing is the Sonic brand is so fucking left field quirky these days. Like, it could be anywhere, right? Like, it's not surprising. I think it actually makes more sense that Sonic would be in a game like this one versus, say, being in a racing game or like an Olympics game that would make sense for Sonic to be in. Like, it's just very left field for the Sonic brand, which makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, just physically speaking, I think this is also a hilarious and nightmarish skin to put out.
I like that for once Sonic looks like he's put on some pounds, you know?
I mean, look at his arms, too. Just, like, chunks. Like, look at those.
Well, certainly you don't look at this and think, this is actually Sonic the Hedgehog, right? You have to look at this thing and think, some fat kid is dressing up like Sonic the Hedgehog.
Finally, someone has created Sonic in real life.
This is the, put him into Fall Guys. This is a Sonic. This is cosplay. This is Fall Guys Sonic cosplay.
This is like that one guy who would dress up as Sailor Moon.
Oh, yeah. Like that,
yeah. Yes. A huge bearded guy. Yeah.
I think in that sense, I'm totally okay with this because it feels like the right blend of weird between two weird, you know, admittedly weird IPs. I would feel very different if this were, say, I don't know, like a more serious character. Right?
This is The Last of Us. This is Ellie in Fall Guys.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's a perfect example. What a horrifying idea you've just put into my head. Or a non-gaming-related IP, which I think is probably, for me, the bigger complaint, right? Going back to Ronald McDonald or Colonel Sanders, we could imagine those IP making a deal with Fall Guys, and then we have a Colonel Sanders skin, right? Twitch did KFC, they had like KFC emotes, and you know, there's all kinds of...
Was this recent?
This was, I think, sometime earlier this year, or maybe last year, where there was some like KFC chicken emotes that you could sponsor, and you could like gift people chicken. It was a very weird thing. The point being is, there are always these major non-endemic brands from outside the gaming space that will try to sort of buy their way in ways that are much more integrated than a normal sponsorship. There's a big difference between having, say, an esports caster desk have a bottle of, I don't know, Mountain Dew on their desk, although even that is a little bit egregious, and the GameSpot Doritos thing the classic example of this. But
it was the Keeley thing, right? Like, didn't he have like a Doritos bag on the desk or
it was
something?
It was like a pile of Doritos bags in my mind. So yeah, something atrocious. That has a whole nother issue because there's also like Games Press stuff involved in there. But the point being is, it's very common for non-endemic brands to try to find their way in. And when they try to be a little bit more tricksy, for lack of a better word, they insert themselves in a way that is much more native, but in doing so, it feels that much more invasive. It feels like an invasion of that IP into something that is very different from what you'd normally expect. Sonic doesn't feel that way, but I do think that there's something interesting about games like Fall Guys. I think the next one to think about is a game like Among Us, but any number of flash in the pan, watchable on Twitch, multiplayer games lend themselves really well to IP insertion. And I think it's something that I fully expect to see more of in the coming years. And I'm frankly, I'm also even a little bit surprised we don't see more of it now, considering the growth of Twitch over the past year or so, or several years rather.
The one that I think about in terms of the capitalize on the moment when you have it, has always been Rocket League. It's just so happened that like Rocket League's moment, I mean, you know, whatever, it's maybe it's not as like hot as it once was, but I feel like it's just as healthy as ever, you know, like that. It just went free to play. Did you see that shit? Like
no. it was pretty recent. Wow. I would have thought it was free to play for a while.
Yeah, right. But like people were still paying real money for it, and now it's free to play, but like with, and they're the same way, you know, custom skins are their whole thing. And they've definitely done crossovers. Like they've done a Twisted Metal one. And I think they've even done like, I think they even did like some Game of Thrones, branded things. Like they've been all over the place.
That's the bridge is gone. It's out from under me. I'm drowning.
It's burned.
So to give you an example, actually, recently, we talked a little bit about this before recording as well, but, a big controversy in the Magic the Gathering card game space has come up because of The Walking Dead's insertion into a secret lair product, which is essentially a premium product that you can only buy for a limited time. The cards that they're printing are real cards. And as a result, there's all of this fear around scarcity and the cost of the cards. But on top of that, you know, I could be playing my Merfolk deck full of like, you know, sea creatures, and I'm like playing against someone else who is playing dragons. And then Negan from The Walking Dead shows up, or Michonne from The Walking Dead. The art on these cards are actual human beings. It's not like high fantasy magic art. It is Daryl from The Walking Dead. He is on the card.
Is it the picture from the TV show?
It is a drawing of. It is a lifelike drawing mm-hmm. of Daryl from The Walking Dead.
But of the of
crossbow the comic in hand. Book? No. From the television show. The actor himself, Norman Reedus, is on a magic Norman card,
Reedus.
Guys.
Fuck, Norman Reedus is everywhere.
It's fucking wild to me. And what's so weird is, you know, there's two ways that Wizards of the Coast could have done this. And one of them is this terrible way. But another way is one that they did very recently that I am actually quite a big fan of. So they released a Secret Lair whose IP tie-in was for Godzilla, right? Mm-hmm. Godzilla, in a way, kind of fits more the high fantasy of Magic the Gathering anyway. So there's that. But on top of it, the cards that Godzilla was printed on were also existing cards with other names and other art. So, you know, one of the card might have been like Gigantha the Wellspring or whatever. This isn't a bad example because that's, if anyone's listening who plays Magic, I know that's not a real thing. That was never a Godzilla card. I'm sorry. But let's imagine it's like Gigantha. Mm-hmm. That's a real card with a normal art that does normal things. So if you want to maintain your role-playing fantasy, use that card. But if you love Godzilla, you can buy a version of that card that it says Godzilla, King of the Monsters, and then underneath, Gigantha, the Wellspring, indicating that this is just a skin of an existing magic card, right?
Yeah.
And that to me feels like the right way to go about it, right? Because what you're saying is, I love this IP, I love this franchise, and I kind of want to honor it without totally undermining or radically shifting either, you know, the fantasy of the world that we're building together, right? Yeah. You're not really playing against Godzilla. You're playing against all of these other creatures. It's just the person who has this Godzilla likes this skin. That to me feels right. And it works even for something like Godzilla that has this sort of existing larger than life fan base and history behind it, right? It makes a lot of sense to me that it would be a natural tie and is something that you would want to honor in that space. A Walking Dead TV show where it will age very quickly, like those characters themselves, you know, as even the fact that there are actors on the card, it just feels like immediately dated and tacky. And I absolutely hate the idea that those are real, actual tournament legal cards.
Well, and they are just, to your point, it's not just a skin. It's like introducing them into the fiction.
Yes, right. So what if the Fall Guy Sonic just like ran faster than everybody else?
Right.
You know? And it's even worse than that.
What if he was eating chili dogs?
I mean, even it's the magic card version is worse than even the Sonic thing because it'd be as though they put Sonic into Fall Guys, but it's just normal Sonic. It's not like a chubby Sonic. It's just regular ass Sonic, you know?
Yeah. All the proportions.
Yeah.
I feel like the reigning champion of crossovers right now is Fortnite.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, Fortnite is still one of the biggest video games ever, and they are still, to this day, actively doing, like, oh, hey, this season is, you know, Marvel season, or, you know, this is, like, the Avengers thing, or, like, I remember they even, like, revealed one of the last fucking things from Star Wars, you know, inside of Fortnite, you know, when the Emperor came back or whatever. Remember that shit?
I'd rather not, Scott. Yes. So there was a piece of dialogue that only appeared in Fortnite. That drives me fucking off the wall. Like that is again, that bridge has gone too far because at that point, in order to understand the fiction of an external property, you have to then consume this other thing, which is just not agreed upon. Like I just didn't sign up for that. You know,
right? It's also just weird because it's both fictions. You know, it's not to me that sort of thing cheapens both, like the native property and the visiting property. You know,
I mean, I don't feel so bad for Fortnite because the aesthetic of Fortnite already is one of a
theme Fortnite
park.
The aesthetic of Fortnite is like anything and everything. This might as well be Ready Player One at this point. You know,
Second Life.
I get it. Yes, Second Life with more twerking or whatever. Yeah, I mean, but just overall though, like that sort of thing. I'm trying to figure out another game that did it. Something like, you know, the thing that always bothered me really was Soul Calibur. Oh, I always thought that stuff was like pretty dumb. Like, oh, look out, it's Darth Vader in Soul Calibur, or like Link in Soul Calibur. Like, I always thought that was kind of stupid.
I think if they were to do that now, I don't recall the controversy in that period. But
no,
but if I remember correctly, Darth Vader was on the PlayStation and Yoda was on the Xbox.
Something like
and
that.
And they were console exclusive characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think in this day and age, that would be a fucking joke. I would hate that. I would publicly hate that on Twitter. because you're right. I mean, it sort of ruins the fiction. It's a very bizarre kind of tie-in. And it's clearly what you are seeing on your screen is not one in which two different groups of creators were mutually inspired and chose to collaborate. Yeah. It is a corporate deal that is someone is forced to implement because of somebody else's decision.
The counterpoint to that one, I feel like, is what Mortal Kombat does, because Mortal Kombat does very similar things where some of the guest characters in Mortal Kombat have been the Terminator or RoboCop, or, you know, Alien. Wait, was Alien or Predator? I don't know. One of them. Like, there's just a lot of them, right? And so, but I don't feel like
it's a great example.
I don't get the sense that the RoboCop, whoever owns the RoboCop IP, was like, we got to get these out there. What are the kids playing? Mortal Kombat? You know, I feel like it's probably just,
we got to revive RoboCop.
Yeah, I mean, like, NetherRealm is probably like, look, these are schlocky movies that probably inspired Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
And so we would like to have that in the game because, let's be honest, like, you know, Terminator clearly inspired sections of Mortal Kombat. And so it's like that to me, that is less egregious because it feels at least tonally correct.
I mean, this is the Godzilla approach, right?
Yeah.
The thing is, and I know it's difficult to put into words or create a set of rules for it, but I want to get the sense that whoever's working on it from an integration perspective loves that property, like truly loves that franchise, and is excited to put it into whatever game they happen to be working on. There's a lot of experiences. So, for example, the Minecraft Smash Brothers thing, right? My gut says Sakurai was not jonesing to put in Steve. You know,
Did you watch the video?
I did. Yes.
So I couldn't tell if that was like kayfabe or not, but like when he was saying like, well, when they came to me and were like, Sakurai son, you must put Minecraft Steve. In. And he was like, it will take a lot of work. I will need to reprogram all of the levels. And they were like, but I think you can do it. And it's like, man, I think he's just hiding the truth in plain sight right there.
I wholeheartedly agree. this doesn't fit right to me. I think this, for me, feels most like Smash Brothers jumping the shark.
Yeah.
You know?
How crazy is it? We didn't, I mean, the whole Smash Brothers Minecraft overlay. Actually, no. You know what? I was going to say it's the first not Japanese developed character, but that's incorrect because they have Banjo-Kazooie in there.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. But Banjo-Kazooie, like, that's another great example, right? The mechanics of Banjo-Kazooie in Smash makes so much sense. It's a character that inspired a lot of 3D movement and 3D combat in video games for years, and it feels like an homage to him that in a way that is very respectful. And at the very least, the Persona, all the Japanese game tie-ins, like, whatever, they're all Japanese, so they're all like scratching each other's backs, fine. I'm okay with that sort of corporate incest happening in Japan, but Steve is too much, man. It's too much. You can't even see his movements. Like, it doesn't make sense. He's like four blocks.
But I think it reminds me how much bigger Minecraft is than my conception of it.
Yeah.
Because there are definitely kids out there who watch Minecraft recreationally and who would recognize Minecraft Steve because they did the whole adventure mode and like all of that shit.
Okay, well, so this is my question then, because this also came up around The Walking Dead, and I admittedly got into a very small YouTube comment war with someone who was an apologist. Look, I've had better days. It was a long week, all right? I was stressed out. Where the justification for this type of behavior is, well, twofold. One is, daddy's got to get paid. And right. The other is, this will bring in a new audience. Do you think that is a justification for sort of forcing IP into another franchise where maybe it's not a clean fit?
I mean, it's definitely an explanation.
It's an explanation.
Justification? I don't know. I mean, let's take the Minecraft Smash crossover. What possible audience could be expanded by this?
I mean, children, right?
But they already know Minecraft and they already know Smash. I mean,
do they know Smash? Like, I don't know what the demo is of Smash Brothers, really.
The people that I talk to who, and the people that I listen to who have kids, they even sometimes, like, I was talking to some people at work a while back who they were talking about how weird it is that their kids know the video game characters from Smash, not from their original game.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
You know, think about someone like fucking Pit, you know.
I'd rather not.
You would
not,
never
but,
play
okay.
that game.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, even someone like
Mr.
Kirby.
Game & Watch, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's kind of weird. And you know, Smash is on Nintendo consoles. Nintendo consoles are historically family friendly. Like, I think I get the anecdotal sense that there's a lot of kids playing Smash. But also, kids love Minecraft. So like, it feels more like this. It actually feels like it benefits Nintendo more than it benefits Microsoft.
Yeah.
And the fact that then people are just going to have to buy it, you know, it's just more DLC to buy from Smash.
Yeah. And a very specifically American audience.
Yeah.
You know,
cause Minecraft is already on everyone's screen, you know, like you could play Minecraft anywhere. Like, and kids definitely know about it, you know?
I wanted another Western character in Smash, but man, not like this .gif, you know what I mean? Not like this.
Yeah. Well, especially because it's so, it feels like it is, it's the obvious corporate choice, which is like the most popular thing in the world. Okay, fine. We're going to put, like, you know, the only other option that they could have gone with that is more mainstream is whatever. We're going to put Johnny Fortnite in Smash, you know, like the main, you know, one of the main skins of Fortnite is, you know?
Yeah. So before we wrap up, besides of course, 2B and Smash, which I'm still holding out for, is there a franchise that you would want to see crossover? Like, we're playing Hades right now. Like, what would, what crossover would you like to see in something like Hades or any number of other, like, you know, games that we've been playing lately, or Spelunky, right? Spelunky feels like a game that would make sense to have some random IP show up in a way.
I am shocked that Shovel Knight has not come into Spelunky at some point.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like the whole indie world of, like, I'm shocked that we haven't seen Super Meat Boy in Spelunky. I'm shocked that like all of the like usual suspects of like the kind of pantheon of independent video game characters. It seems like there's a lot of potential there.
Okay, so I'm going to just name some characters, and you can, like, yay or nay on Spelunky. Steve from Minecraft.
No, hard thumbs down.
Indiana Jones.
Oh, a cartoonish version. And they need to call him, like, Illinois Smith.
Well, they did name the dog after, That's the dog true. Indiana anyway, so. Lara Croft.
Nah, thumbs down.
Thumbs down? Okay. Yoshi.
Yeah, too weird. No. Yoshi as is a tool, not a character.
But as
yeah,
a rescue
exactly.
dog.
Yeah.
Or like a turkey.
No, totally. Yeah. Yoshi as a mount. Yes.
Okay. 2B.
I'm trying to think of like a chibi version of 2B. Like, how would that look? Like, because you have to have like the weird.
Well, I'm out of diggers at this point, Scott. I'm full out of Spelunkian characters, I guess.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. I mean, you know, again, what they need to do is they need to have like someone like Hades in Spelunky, but like Spelunkify him. You know, like imagine like a chibi cute version of
Zagreus.
Of Zagreus.
That would be awesome.
And it's like you find him in the hell level. You know, and he's like, I've been trying to work my way up here for years.
Well, let me ask you this then. Do you think that you would be more okay with it if it went both ways? Like, if the Spelunky characters were now characters in Hades?
I think the whole I think the mutual exchange is really fun, because then it's more of a, like, I mean, obviously it could still be a business deal, but it's more of a
like, let's see what happens kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, more of an artistic thing where it's like, we are going to, it's like when they put, I think they put like Ryu in Tekken at some point.
That's
right,
yeah.
And like it weirdly worked. And so like, I think it would be cool to see that sort of stuff, because then it's a mutual thing versus just like, yeah, whatever, we're going to cram this character in, or we're going to beg you to put this character in.
Yeah, yeah.
If we could somehow get like Bojack Horseman and Mr. Peanut Butter in it.
Oh, yeah, dude. You know what I want?
Is this a crossover episode?
I just want Sakurai himself in some game, you know? Even Smash Brothers.
I mean, if they ever make another Nier, they need to put him in that game.
Well, see, this is also a whole nother question, which is, how do we feel about real people? Like, this is the Daryl right. problem, but what if it was like George Clooney's in Smash? You know, and each ability was a different role, like Michael Clayton, or like, you know,
or they put Saints Row, the president was just Keith David.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's some Gonzo video game right there, though. That makes sense.
Or even in Nier, they had the president of whatever, what was the company that published it. They had real people in it. Or like, you know, another famous example, of course, is in Metal Gear and, gosh, was it Metal Gear Solid 4? Anyway, Kojima shows up in Ground Zeroes. You actually have to like rescue him. And like, there's like a crazy sequence where like he puts on his glasses and it's like super, you know, dramatic and stuff. So, I mean, like there's like some precedent for kind of, you know, actual crossovers. And then in Death Stranding, they had those actors, and they had Conan O'Brien, and they had a few other people in there.
Yeah. Well, those are like,
but
guest
it wasn't
spots.
Conan O'Brien.
That's it what was, I'm saying. It needs to be actually Conan O'Brien, you know?
Right.
I mean, we all know Conan O'Brien's going to go to hell, so Hades makes sense.
Oh, man. It would be so funny to have him in there as basically entertainment in one of the levels of hell.
Yeah.
You know, for Shades, like Shades going to see a show and it's Conan O'Brien.
That would be really funny.
Yeah. It's tough.
I need to work more in the partnerships field, I think, because this is just fruit sitting on the table, you know?
Yeah, we could fix this. I mean, I think the devil's deal you'd have to make, though, is like for every one of the like thematically consistent one, you would have to have Johnny Fortnite in. Yes. Something, yeah. You know, because it's like, I feel like at the base of this is mostly to, it is mostly to expand audiences and to get, to make money exchange hands, but you could still do it in a tasteful way.
For sure. Yeah. I'm very much...
You started watching DS9 and The Next Generation, and
yes,
they definitely do the handoff where it's like, hey, you should watch DS9 because Picard's going to show up, you know?
Yeah.
And that's like, but at least they justify it within the episode, you know?
Yeah. Picard in Spelunky. There we go.
All right. Any other, wait, did I ask you any, like, what did I say? You asked me about the Spelunky ones. Let me ask you about, well, you tell me about the Hades ones, actually.
Okay.
Who do we need to see in Hades?
That's a good question. I mean, it is, I like the idea. I mean, this sounds very weird and is maybe offensive. I think the idea of dead people populating Hades, and it could be, it could be like Elysium, you know, people who have earned through valor their place. But what if it were just straight up real people in there, you know?
You could go the South Park method of doing like actual still living people, like when Andy Dick was in hell, you know, like they met him down there, or like before Saddam Hussein was dead, like Saddam Hussein was a major character in hell.
Basically, anybody who has been in an in memoriam section of the Oscars, just put them in, put them in Hades.
What if they, what if you,
what about
what if
like Norse Kratos? Gods? Yeah. Okay. I would actually, God, see, that's such a fucking good one. Like, what are you into the idea that Kratos' weapons the axe, the new axe, yeah, or his chains become weapons in Hades as part of a crossover.
So I was reading some stuff about Hades and the subsequent, you know how you can unlock different aspects of the weapons?
Yeah.
So the final secret aspects reference other mythology.
Oh, interesting.
So it's like, oh, this is the, even one of them is like the, I think the gun, the last one is like the aspect of Satan or something like
that. And it's a Doom reference?
Yeah. Well, it's just a, it's a Christian gods reference where some of them is like, I think the,
oh, I see.
I'm gonna fuck this up, but one of the bow and arrow, I think, is like aspect of Rama, and it's like the Indian god that has a bow and arrow.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty fucking cool.
So there is like kind of latent crossovers late game when they talk about like these, theoretically, these weapons are pantheistic, you know, even within the pantheon of Greek, but like these weapons are deities' weapons across the world versus just the Greek world.
This is why it's so challenging to identify where that border is, because I think what is too far for me isn't too far for other people. Kratos, yeah, I think, is on that line. Like, I actually think I would be into that, but I could see why people would not want Kratos in Hades.
Yeah.
You know, or any of his weapons.
But I think subtlety is the key here. You know, like if you just, to your point, if you just meet him in Elysium at some point.
Well, I mean, really the question, that there's nothing more iconic in God of War than his chains.
Yeah, the chaos. Yeah, the blades.
If those blades were weapons and they just said the blades of chaos or whatever they're called. And
sure. Like what if you had I don't know what weapon it would be. Maybe it would be the sword, or maybe it would be the knuckles or something. And if you unlocked it, like aspect of Kratos, and it turned it into like the blades or something.
Like, is that too far? But then the question goes, right? Like, you can inch it forward. What if it's two pistols you're dual wielding, and it says aspect of Lara Croft? Like, is that, that's too far, right? Like that, I would agree. I think that is too far. Or
aspect of Mario, he just eats a bunch of mushrooms.
Or like it is, or what about Doom, right? Where you can use the railgun, and now it's the fucking railgun from Doom. Like there are these like little steps towards where that is. I don't know where that line is, but that line exists somewhere for every game. Every game has that line. And when you cross it, like it's almost like the uncanny valley. It's just really gross. I just hate it, and I don't like to think about it. Like, even just saying that Lara Croft in Hades makes me want to barf a little bit in my mouth.
No, you know, okay, we will for real end after this, but you know what actually makes you vomit, you personally, is you hate brand crossover. Like, remember the rock star in Death Stranding?
The rocks, yes.
the Monster Energy, that's what it was.
Yes, the Monster Energy drink, yes.
So what if like Zagreus, you know, refreshing.
like fucking the Kool-Aid man bursts out of a wall and is like, oh yeah, Zagreus.
Got any of that nectar?
We finally know what ambrosia is. And it's like, what's the orange?
Cherry red or whatever. it's Ecto Cooler.
I mean, non-endemic brands drive me off the wall. Like, I think they have no place there, but that's tough, man. That's country. That's territory I do not want to explore.
All right. We will leave it there for this week. Experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our website. You can find us wherever you find podcasts, Apple iTunes, Stitcher, you know the places.
All right. Until next time, everyone, thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao. I